What's up, Cyclones? Happy Wednesday. I had to actually look at my Mac here. Seems like basketball season comes around and you kind of forget what day it is. And today's the Mr. B Clothing Podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. Brought in a loyal Mr. B Clothing customer, longtime friend of the podcast, friend of Cyclone Fanatic, one of my best pals, Tommy Birch from the Des Moines Register.
Seems fitting. I am wearing Mr. B pants.
Got your slacks on? Ooh,
Mr.
Yeah.
B shirt.
Nice.
I'm not sure where the shoes came
look
from.
Good.
Socks did.
You look nice.
I do.
You look nice. Full disclosure, we're recording the Mr. B Clothing Podcast here at about 1:30. We're starting this recording at the Cyclone Fanatic World Headquarters in Ankeny. And, Birchie, you're on your way up to the women's game. Correct?
I am. Yeah.
So you cover the Iowa State men.
Mm-hmm.
You cover the Iowa State women.
Mm-hmm.
You cover what I call the auxiliary sports, as in wrestling.
Yep. I think that's it then, because I think somebody else is going to do volleyball, because football, once football rolls around, that's like all in. No time to mess around. No offense to volleyball, but yeah.
I dig. So how many trips would you say do you take to Ames? Like in a given week right now.
Oh, man.
You tweeted the other day you had been in Hilton like 7 straight days or something like that.
7 straight days and like 8 out of my last 9, something like that. Or it was insane. Between women's availability, men's availability, games, wrestling, just random stuff. If I still had a cot, I would contemplate bringing it up.
So – are you there's two kinds of guys in this business. There's the guy who just relishes this time of year, loves it, eats it up. And there's the type that, I think the older you get this time of year, you're kind of like, oh, my God, when's it going to – because you got signing day coming up. I mean, where are you at right now? Are you still enjoying this, or are you – Ready to get to April and take a long nap?
I'm a mental and physical train wreck. No, I'm doing fine.
Good.
You know what? I like it. You know, it's busy. It's hard to kind of keep the day straight almost.
That's why I said when I opened the podcast, I had to look to see what day it was.
Totally. And you know, I love staying busy, especially this time of year. I guess I look forward to the summer more when it's a little slower. It's warm weather. I can bring out my flip-flops and board shorts.
You had the greatest beat in the world in the summer.
The Iowa Cubs.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I envy that. I envy you every year with that beat.
Now, it's going to be even more fun this summer. Probably not as fun as last summer,
I guess. The Man-Ram thing was awesome.
Yeah, that was just a whole other thing. You know, then you have all the prospects coming up. You had Chris Bryant.
Yeah, that was a dream season to cover the Iowa Cubs, really.
My only regret was I kind of wish I would have gathered more material. And, you know, that's something you could have written a book off of, that type of season.
Yeah.
There are certainly things that I'll never forget, just some of the behind-the-scenes stuff that, you know, you see on a daily basis with guys like Chris Bryant and Javier Baez and then Manny Ramirez. I mean, it's just such an odd world to be a part of, you know, just walking around the corner at Principal Park in the clubhouse, and there's Manny Ramirez.
You guys got to be pretty close, right?
You know, I don't think he totally knew my name. He always called me bro. You know, the irony is...
Yeah.
I just think that's the type of guy Manny is. I remember Bill Plaschke came up from L.A. He was in St. Louis to cover Dodgers Cardinals. And he came over the next day to do a column on Manny Ramirez. And I'm sitting there with Bill before the game just kind of chatting. And I said, you know, what's your relationship like with Manny? He goes, you know, it was hit and miss. You know, there were times he wrote good things, he wrote bad things. I said, what's the reaction going to be when he sees you? And he goes, honestly, don't even think he'll know who I am. And sure enough, when he walked up to him, you know, Manny goes, hey, I'm Manny. And you know, he's like, yeah, Bill Plaschke from the early times. You know, we chatted a couple of times.
Is Bill Plaschke a good guy?
Yeah, he seemed like a nice guy. He really went to town on the Chinese, buffet style.
Oh, yeah.
Pregame food.
Did they have Lucky Bamboo?
They did not.
Oh, interesting. You still haven't gotten your physical, have you?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I completely thought I was being sabotaged here. I thought it was a trick. I wake up to a text message from you, like, can you be here today? Do you want to do a podcast? Kind of came out of nowhere. And I immediately went on the defense.
You did.
Especially because I think I tweeted you last night.
I went to
the Cyclone Fanatic front page, and I see that lovely picture of you in scrubs.
Yep. Well, it wasn't scrubs. That's a medical robe.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
And I had to document it. Every time I see it, I'm entertained by it. You know what I really miss that you do? When you did the mailbag, I liked how you had the mailman hat on and you had the bag over your shoulder. You should bring that back.
Go old school.
Yeah.
That's Cyclone Fanatic like 5 years ago, man.
See, I'm a loyal reader.
Well, I appreciate that, as I am yours. No, that's it's good. It's good to have you here. You know, because I feel bad at asking you to give time to the podcast. Because I know how busy you are. Real.
No.
It's same with, like, you. And, you know, I try and get you guys on. I like getting different voices on. But it's like, man, I know you guys are – you're everywhere.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, anytime I have a chance to stop in Ankeny, I'm going to pull a trigger on that because, you know, maybe I can sneak in some time to Lucky Bamboo. I came in, and it looked like you were eating Chinese food.
No, that wasn't Chinese food.
I didn't get a good look. It was going to make me too hungry.
I went to the noodle zoo.
Okay.
They have what's called an Olympic bowl.
That sounds delicious. Yeah, I don't even know what that is.
It's just vegetables and chicken, and you mix it all together in olive oil.
Sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it's yummy. All right. Well, there's multiple ways we can go. I guess we'll start with basketball. We'll get your thoughts on Iowa State basketball here. I do want to touch on football recruiting. It's crazy to me that National Signing Day is a week away because there's just no buzz. And a lot of that, I'm not going to take a shot at Iowa State here because they had a lot of their class done.
Yeah.
You know, or it was going to be a small class. And we knew it was going to be a small class before they even started. So That's part of it, but then, you know, they've just had, you know, the attrition and lost a couple of those recruits, and it's just been a lot of bad news for Iowa State football. But we'll talk a little football recruiting here, as I just feel like, you know, we have a responsibility to do that with signing day coming up next week. Basketball-wise, let's talk about last night in the Big 12. I don't know if you got to watch those games. Who was it? Kansas State. I was surprised Kansas State lost. I was surprised that they lost at home last night, but just to West Virginia. Is Kansas State, in your opinion, I guess I've been higher on Kansas State than most people have. I've thought this is a tough team. It's a nasty team. They may not lose a game at home. But then, you know, if you look at the Ken Pomeroys, if you look at a lot of that stuff across the board, they had a terrible non-conference. And a lot of people thought, you know, this is a team that's going to come back to life, and they're gonna even out in the Big 12. They're going to be middle of the pack, maybe lower middle of the pack, 7 or 8 in the Big 12. What's your thought on them? Because that surprised me. I thought they would beat West Virginia at home.
Well, first off, it really hurt that they didn't have Nino Williams for most of the night. You know,
they probably win with him.
Yeah, I think they do. And it, from the reports out there, it sounds like that could be something that could possibly be long term. You don't know. So I think first and foremost, that's the number one thing, the difference maker right there with them. Now that game,
you think they win with him last?
Absolutely.
Okay, because I did
that's
too.
That's it right there. That was the toughest game to watch in the world because what was it? Under a minute. There was a technical foul. A couple minutes into the game, it's like a 6-1 game. It's just a giant foul fest. Games like that, I think you almost throw out the footage because it tells us absolutely nothing of those teams. I felt like both those teams were totally taken out of their element. And
it was a big boxing match, really.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think it's like you had mentioned, in a game like that, you almost think Kansas State's going to pull that out. They're more equipped for that kind of physical type game. They're still kind of a Frank Martin team.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't fully gotten rid of that image or that style of play, I guess, and maybe they won't.
They're so tough. You saw it in Hilton, though.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys were they think that they're way better than they are.
Yeah.
Which I like.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to have that strut in your step, and, you know, there are two ways that can kind of go. If I think we've seen what it can do with a team like Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
I think they, the problem with Iowa State is they almost realize how good they are. And they kind of need that realization sometimes that they're as vulnerable as anybody else. They're not Superman. They can't dodge bullets. They can't get struck by, you know, a sword to the chest and just survive. You know, they're going to take hits, and they can go down.
I think Iowa State, they know how good they can be, but they aren't that good yet.
Exactly.
Which is a deadly combination when you, you know, as we saw on Saturday against Texas
and
Tech.
I think you made a great point in one of the things you had wrote where they cannot be trusted.
No,
you know, it's
not at all. I still don't. I don't care if they beat Texas. I don't trust this team. You saw in the last 5 minutes. That's why you can't trust them.
It's like that ex-girlfriend who cheats on you, and then she goes, and, you know, you see her, you know, that the Texas game was like where she walks over to a good-looking guy.
This is just, the ex-girlfriend?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, are you back with her yet?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, you are. You are back.
Oh, so you're back with the ex-girlfriend who cheated on you.
Yes.
And then Texas comes to town, all right?
There's so much irony right
now. No, I'm just trying to follow this here. I like I love the ex-girlfriend analogies.
So she walks up to a good-looking guy, and, you know, in the back of your mind, you're kind of like, that woman's going to cheat on me.
She's going to go for it here.
She's going to go with that guy.
Yeah.
But you want to have faith in her. But
you just, you know, once a cheater, always a cheater.
And you can't – right now, I think Iowa State fans are absolutely terrified to invest their heart and soul into this team to believe that they can do all these great things that we hype them up to do. And like you said, that they can do. It's – right now, they are their own worst enemy.
I was in a meeting this morning, and a guy – I'll keep his name out of it, but I thought he made a really good point. He goes, this team is good enough to win it all, but they could also just be like that 2 seed that gets beat in the first round.
You know, and that's what I told Randy Peterson the other night. It's almost like the Big 12 is that in general. Everybody wants to talk about how great the Big 12 is, and there are a lot of good teams, and there is a lot of parity, and anybody can lose on any given night. But the thing about this Big 12 is every team – is fully capable of all those teams that are capable of going to the tournament are fully capable and could possibly lose in the first round too.
Mm-hmm.
And there are very few teams that you can realistically say with absolute confidence they're a Sweet 16 team or an Elite Eight.
I can't think of one because I don't trust Kansas either.
Yeah, they have that potential. Kansas has it. Iowa State has it. But Texas, I mean, holy smokes, they have 3 or 4 possible NBA guys on the floor for them. But for some reason, you know, they resemble, you know, a Mac Brown football team too.
Yeah.
There's just so much talent out there. But Rick Barnes, for whatever reason, just can't get them to that next level.
See, I found – I'll see if you match up with this. I found Rick Barnes' post-game press conference the other night intriguing. He lost the game, but he was happy afterwards. I feel like he figured something out with his team in the last 10 minutes of that game. And I guess I should probably pull up who they play next. But I'd be very interested to see what Texas does going forward because they're not going to win the league,
sure.
But I think the point you were getting to make was like if that all comes together, I feel like Texas could be right there with Iowa State and Kansas as far as, you know, what we thought they would be before the year. It's just taken them a while to figure that out.
Yeah, and you talk to people around that program, and you get the feeling that it's almost like what Iowa State was going through maybe at the start of the Big 12 conference season, or maybe when Jameel McKay was added, almost maybe a little bit of an identity crisis. I think Iowa State's always known what they wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think for a little while, they just didn't know how they were going to do it. With Texas, you know, it's like you've got all these big guys that should be able to dominate the floor, and you just throw it into the post and bam, that's your offense. but they kept, for some reason, for a long time, they kept, going away from that game plan. And maybe against Iowa State, we saw why. I mean, you watched how hot they got, how quickly that happened. They turned it around, drained 10 three-pointers, overcame a 21-point deficit within the, flick of a switch.
If you got Isaiah Taylor and Miles Turner both clicking, Miles Turner was one of the, I don't know about you, all the games I've seen in Hilton, one of the more impressive specimens I've seen.
Yeah, and he absolutely did not seem bamboozled or, overtaken by the crowd.
He's the real deal.
He handled himself. I think it was Monte Morris that was guarding him most of the night, right?
You're talking about Isaiah Taylor. Turner, the big man.
Yeah, Turner. Yeah, I'm total.
Taylor was impressive too, though. I mean, he was unbelievable in that second half.
But Turner, I mean, holy smokes. I mean,
some of those post moves early.
Yeah. When they needed baskets, those were two guys that they could legitimately count on. And for a long time there, they could just not miss. And you think about that team, if they can – there's no way you can play to that level 40 minutes every night. But if they can almost give you that type of effort, that type of production, half as good as that, they're going to be a dangerous team.
Yeah, I just thought Barnes's reaction to the loss was very interesting.
Yeah, I think he knew that that game was really getting out of hand. It was ugly. You know, I think we all were like, this game's over.
Dude,
call off
the call,
dogs.
Done.
Yeah.
Done.
I remember thinking, like, man, he does not have enough timeouts to get through this game and make it look respectable. And I really do think it wasn't Iowa State letting off the pedal. I think it was Texas really just – they found their rhythm. They found their shot. They really got it going. And for a while, Iowa State was matching them kind of punch for punch, but Texas just never stopped.
Dude, some of those shots like Felix was hitting were stupid.
They could have shot it from the other side of the court. I heard Andy kind of compared on the radio show. It was kind of like the scene in Pleasantville, where Tobey Maguire's just tossing shots.
Never seen the movie.
What the hell is the matter with you?
Never seen it. What,
man.
Tell me about this movie. What is what do I need to see?
Tobey Maguire and Reese Witherspoon.
Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man.
Yes.
Okay.
Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah,
from
Daddy likes her.
Cruel Intentions.
June Cash.
Yes. They get stuck in TV show Pleasantville.
You think she's from Cruel Intentions, and I think she's from the Johnny Cash movie.
I won't go anywhere else with that. But
so this Pleasantville movie is...
They get stuck in like a 50s style television
There's
show.
There's some sexual innuendos in this show, right?
Oh, yes.
I think I've seen parts of it, yeah.
Paul Walker's in it.
Paul Walker is
the late, great Paul Walker.
The deceased man from the Fast and the Furious movies.
Yeah, I mean, he still lives on to me.
But he is gone. He did die, right?
From what I've been told.
So this is like an Elvis thing? He may or may not be dead?
I have this theory that I believe that Tupac and Michael Jackson are still alive. Now,
Do you think Elvis is alive?
No, I think he's gone. But I'm not totally convinced on Paul Walker. You know, you still have this new Fast and the Furious movie. Was it like Too Fast, Too Furious 12 coming out?
The Ocho.
Yeah. He's coming out. He's going to be in this.
Tommy Birch, I'm just like every day, I feel like I know you. I've known you for like 10 years, but I feel like every day I peel off another layer of the onion.
It's scary to see what could be under there.
You're a John F. Kennedy conspiracy theorist. You think Tupac is still alive, and now you fully believe that Paul Walker is still walking among us.
Not totally convinced, but I do think Michael Jackson and Tupac are still alive. They're producing more music dead than they are alive. They were alive.
The underground.
Dead,
man.
With quotation marks.
Back to Texas. Okay, so my point with them is, just based off of Barnes' reaction, how they closed out that game, I'm very interested to see, how they perform when they go to Baylor on Saturday. Their schedule is tough. I mean, every Big 12 schedule, but their next three games, they're at Baylor, Oklahoma State at home, and at Kansas State. That's a tough three-game stretch, and then they have home games against TCU and Texas Tech.
Now, you have to wonder, are they catching Baylor at a good or bad time? Because Baylor's coming off a pretty tough loss right now.
Baylor's got to be let's look at what they've done lately. They're doing all right. They lost at Oklahoma State last night. We were going to get to that game, but then before that, they had beaten Oklahoma at home, and then they had that really weird game against like an NAIA team sandwiched in the middle.
Did you get the backstory behind that game?
No, I didn't.
The reason why they were playing this NAIA school.
Somebody was mumbling it, but I didn't actually get – tell the story because I think our listeners may want to hear this.
The deal was Coach Ken Carter was going to play for the school that Baylor was going to be playing for. Ken Carter's like in his 40s or 50s. I don't even know. You know, the guy from Coach Carter.
Oh, the Coach Carter?
The Coach Carter.
Coach Carter.
Yeah.
Okay.
That guy. He was going to be playing for – this NAIA school, and they were going to be making a movie about it.
He's going to be playing?
He was going to be playing, not
at the
coaching.
Age of 40.
Yeah, older than 40. He's in his 40s or 50. I think like 43.
How?
I don't know.
He had eligibility?
I don't know. But they were going to come out with a Coach Carter 2, and they wanted to have live – they wanted to have real footage of this game.
With him
and
just getting annihilated by – Gathers?
Well, I guess the culmination of this movie was going to be, you know, you had to have a big-time opponent. You know, if they're playing Grandview, that doesn't exactly make for some great storytelling.
Tell the folks at Grandview that.
You're trying to get me in trouble. Now, so that was kind of the game plan. Well, for some reason, it didn't work out with Coach Carter.
How is Coach Carter eligible to play college basketball if he's 45?
You got me. But that was the deal. He bet, I guess, for some reason, it didn't work out. Baylor honored their commitment, and they played on. So, but, yeah, Baylor is a very fascinating team, too. So
I love Scott Drew.
You just love anybody from Baylor.
No, I have always had a separate love for Art Briles and Scott Drew. I don't have a love for Baylor. I appreciate guys who can build a program.
No, you know? Drew are like BFFs. Yeah, he's at Big 12 media days, yeah, right?
He's my guy.
Yeah.
We Scott and I go way back. Dates back to would have been, well, you know, I've talked to Scott a bunch of times.
To be a fly on that wall.
Yeah, no, but we had a nice chat in San Antonio last year.
Yeah.
Where he just raved about how much he loved Iowa State fans.
No, that was kind of funny because Rick Barnes kind of did the same thing too. And, you know, I think, I don't know if you saw it, but before the game, he was out by the locker room just leaning up against Cyclone Alley, just chit-chatting with one Iowa State fan. It was very peaceful and cordial, but
Rick Barnes
was taking place for like 15 minutes. It was the kid. I don't know if it was the kid that was dressed up as Big Bird or if he was right behind Big Bird. But Rick Barnes was a man of the people.
Rick Barnes on Monday night showed me a different side.
Yeah.
So if I were to do a Big 12 coaches power rankings on likability, has nothing to do with wins and losses. Just like, hey, which guy's like cool you want to have a beer with? Based off of my experiences, Barnes would always probably be around 9 or 10. Just never seemed like my kind of guy who I want to, you know, go out and have a cocktail with.
Yeah.
His likability factor is skyrocketing.
He came in and he talked about how great the city of Ames was and then
called out haters.
Yeah, and had Niang's back. And
Before the game, he had like his sleeves rolled up. He's going around like hand pounding people.
Yeah.
Rick Barnes is showing me a new leaf.
I like this guy.
Who would you, if you could have a beer with any Big 12 basketball coach, and you're not Tommy Burch of the Des Moines Register because they'll treat you differently because of that because they wouldn't want to say anything. If you're just random Tommy Burch, and take Hoiberg out of the mix, who would you want to have a beer with?
Well, I was thinking after what loss it was for Kansas when Bill Self walked into the postgame presser and said, "Man, I wish this were vodka."
Yeah.
My first thought was, that's a guy
I
need to take to Good Sons.
I'd like to have a beer with Bill Self.
I think he would be fascinating. And
yeah. He would probably be number one.
Yeah.
I think. I mean, he's a very interesting cat. Scott Drew.
I would just love to ask Self about – I think what I would do is I would sit down And I've still got a lot of the photos. I would show him a lot of the photos of the signs from game day.
Yeah, just get his reaction. Just get
his reaction. You know, the kid with Bill Self's wife is on Tinder. So
speaking of signs, then that was a good one. Speaking of signs, this sign lives on. Because I saw it again on Monday night. I want to give a personal shout out to the kid who created the sign that just says sports.
Yeah, I
saw him. In capital letters.
I saw him back.
That's a great sign. To me, like, that's such a fantastic whoever that young man is, and I don't know who it is, but one, I'd like you to email me because I'd like to get you on the podcast.
I can't wait till, like, 10 different kids email you.
But that young man, I don't know who he is. I don't know what his major is. Don't know anything about him. But he's going to be successful in life because you got all these wise guys out there, these wannabes. These fancy little schmancy signs are spending a ton of money at Copyworks, money that they don't have. This guy gets a freaking white piece of paper and writes sports in capital letters and he underlines it. And you know what he does? It didn't cost him a damn dime. He's going to take that $50 that you spent on your fancy sign, and he's going to have a couple more cold beers after the game. That's my kind of guy, Tommy.
What about if we're talking simplicity? What about the kid who I saw on your message board? I think you know where I'm going with this. Maybe the kid, and from my understanding is they confiscated the sign that had, I guess it's four-letter word, referring to male body part.
Interesting.
Did you see that picture?
No, I didn't. I haven't seen this.
It was on the boards at one point.
I don't see everything on the boards, unfortunately. I try. But
there are kids just typing madness right now.
Does it start with a D or a C?
A P.
A four-letter word?
Five-letter.
I was going to say, is there like a new slang term for the male anatomy aware of?
Five-letter word.
That's creative. If it was the four-letter word that started with a D or a C, I wouldn't be impressed because to me that's potty humor, not a potty humor guy. But if it starts with a P and it's a five-letter word, see, to me that's kind of funny.
There are no exclamation point, no picture of it, just the word, and it spoke volumes to me.
Yeah, I'll give that kid some props.
I would want to have a drink with that kid.
Yeah, I think I would too.
I want to know how he got that. I've got some ideas of how that sign ended up on air, but I want to get to the bottom of his secrets.
Yeah, boy, this to be 21 again. I feel like
I'm very thankful I didn't have Twitter when I was 21. Yeah. I can safely say I would not be sitting here employed.
I can barely handle myself on Twitter at 30. Like,
I think you do a fine job.
Well,
it's real. I know I've had some weak moments, especially when your people
when they come at you.
They come at me. You know, I had a tweet after the lost to Texas Tech, and you know, I went back and said perhaps I was a little extreme, but you know, I said Iowa State went from being in the driver's seat of the Big 12 to the trunk. Now, I don't think they're in the trunk. I was just trying to say that they went from being in control of things to now I don't think they hold their destiny as much anymore.
They
need some help.
They don't.
But perhaps they went to the passenger seat. They're still riding shotgun. They've got a nice view. But
you know, like the like a van.
Yeah.
You know the van that doesn't have two rows of like two benches.
Mm-hmm.
It's got two individual seats and then the back bench.
Yeah.
They're in one of those seats.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too.
I don't think anybody's in the passenger seat.
Yeah.
The fact that Kansas has some road wins under its belt, you know, I think gives them they're clearly in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
When you look at their track record and Bill Self.
You have absolutely no room for error now if you're Iowa State. You went from You know, you probably could, but you just can't go down to Texas Tech and lose. That's just not even an option. The reason why Kansas has done the things that they've done and lasted for as long as they have the top of the standings is they just don't do that. They will have hiccups in the road, but losing at Texas Tech to a team like that, that's not a hiccup in the road. That's kind of hitting a big roadblock almost. Yeah,
that's running into a pothole.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. You good on basketball? You good?
Yeah, I mean, are you?
Got any more hot takes?
I don't know. You ask me, I tell you.
Yeah, all right.
I will say this. I do like how Barnes came and defended George Niang, you know. Thought that was nice.
You did.
I'd
like to know the backstory of this.
Yeah.
Did Rick Barnes was he sitting at a bar and overheard people talking, or did a fan come to Rick Barnes and be like, that damn George Niang?
I could see a fan coming up to him and just saying, you know, let's get your take on some Iowa State things and dropping a few things and then being like, man, Niang just hasn't been what we hoped he could be or what he has been in the past, because I think those are legitimate talking points. He hasn't played in Big 12 play. He hasn't played the way he has in the past or what he's capable of doing. He mm-hmm. he almost looks a little, I don't want to say lost, but you know, I do think it does have a lot to do with Jameel McKay. It's almost like he has to adjust to life, to having another big man down there. You know what his role is almost.
He is Rob and I talked about this on our podcast yesterday. But I think that it was a very encouraging sign on Monday that Niang and Dejon Jones led them.
Yeah.
In scoring, cuz I think that truly is the best way for them to, you know, compete for a national championship. Those two guys have got to be focal points, and the other guys around them. Monte Morris is a focal point, but not when it comes to scoring, right?
Sure.
He's creating scoring.
Yeah.
But he's not the guy who you want to rely on. He's got to have guys like Niang and BDJ who you can just rely on for 15, 20 points every single night, guaranteed. And if they can get Dejon Jones to do that, and then you have all these little pieces around them, these guys who have their own roles. Naz is your sharpshooter. Monte's your facilitator. Jameel McKay does what he does. That's a nice-looking basketball
that
team.
That is, but I think they can get away a little bit more without having those points from Bryce.
Yeah, absolutely. Niang is more important.
Yeah, I think he is kind of the glue that kind of keeps this team together right now. And, you know, to me, I guess if a lot of the questions lately have been about the starting lineup. Are we going to see a change in there? And I guess if I'm looking at it from that perspective, I'm wondering maybe Bryce is the odd man out if you want to toss Jameel McKay in there.
I don't think they're going to do anything like that, though.
I don't think
they
will either.
Leave him as their sixth man.
Yeah, I think they will too, and I think that's a good move. But I'm saying if that is a route that they decide to go, I think Bryce might be the odd man out. Now, you're kind of going into a dangerous area there, because I think it's a legitimate question to ask: how is Bryce going to respond to having a new role of having to come off the bench? I don't know how much he's going to be able to handle that. And, mm-hmm. you know, the great thing about Fred Hoiberg is managing to keep everybody happy and, you know, pleased with the role and the minutes and sharing the ball and stuff like that. And I think that is something you have to worry about. Right now, Jameel McKay totally seems fine with coming off the bench. I do think it's a good spot for him right now, because yeah. He's giving you that spark that I think if you flip those roles, I don't know if you get that same spark from Bryce coming off the bench that you get from Jameel.
Against the probably the biggest team in the Big 12 on Monday night, McKay only played 23 minutes.
Now, I actually thought he was going to see more playing time. So did I. I thought he might get the start there, but
nope. Hey, let's move on to football quickly before we wrap this up. Tommy Burch from the Des Moines Register joins me today on the Mr. B Clothing Podcast. Go on in and tell Tim and Mac and all the studs down there, Mike. Who's your favorite Mr. B clothing guy?
I mean, it's
hard to name a favorite.
Yeah, but kind of my two go-to guys are Mac and Tim.
Yeah.
Mac is always asking me questions about...
Mac's a big sports fan.
Yeah, yeah. Now, he hooked me up with my last blazer, so...
To get it all tailored for you and everything?
Yeah, no. So I would say Mac is riding the hot hand right now.
Yeah.
So...
Okay. Mac is number one in your power rankings?
That's subject to change.
Earlier today, Alan Lazard tweeted this. Cyclone Nation, show some love to my man at Brad Ricks, 27. We need him. Show him why we got the best fans in the nation. That's Bradrick Shaw, a running back commitment for Wisconsin, who's a top 150 player. Big-time player, 6'2", like 200. Now, Iowa State just got a commitment earlier in the week from, I believe his name is Joshua Thomas.
Yep. No relation to Matt Thomas.
No, okay. Thanks for clarifying that. That's interesting. This Alan Lazard tweet, do you know anything about that?
Absolutely nothing, okay. To be honest. But, you know, what kind of surprises me is from everything I've read from Thomas – and at least what he was being told is he's, you know, when you take everything that a recruit says they're being told with a grain of salt, but it sounded like from what he was told was he was going to be their top priority in terms of running back. Now, obviously, they already had somebody with Ozigbo, and he bolted for Nebraska, and then I think Thomas came a little bit more into play.
Who's higher touted, Ozigbo or Thomas?
From my understanding, it was Ozigbo.
Yeah.
So okay. I would be interested to know in how long Thomas has really been on their radar and when he got that offer. Now,
Did he have real running back offers from Wisconsin and Ohio State, or were these conditional? Do you know?
I don't know that. Okay. But that would be a good question for our guy, Andy Hamilton.
Yeah.
We should. Recruiting guru.
Can we get Andy in here on a podcast next week?
I think so.
Would you come and Andy and we could talk recruiting before National Signing Day? That'd be good.
Yeah, I would be happy to.
Okay.
Now, you know, Ozigbo, they had very high hopes for. There were a lot of expectations for him. So once they lost him, they had to go out and get that new running back. Now, kind of the interesting thing about Thomas is he made it sound like he might kind of be a power back almost. Maybe I saw one of the interviews he gave where he maybe kind of took a shot at Aaron Wimberly a little bit, where he said, you know, they needed kind of a fourth and one or third and one guy, and they didn't have that last year, and I think I can be that guy.
Is Martinez Syria? I mean, what is he now?
It was always my impression that was kind of him too.
I don't know. I don't think that I'm not really worried about like their skill guys at all.
No, they've got
across the board.
Yeah, the biggest thing that they needed help on right away, and they didn't need it from high school kids. They needed it from JUCO guys. Were on defense.
Yeah.
You know, that defensive line, and you know they got the big one with Damon Tucker, that defensive tackle. Now, I guess maybe I'm a little hesitant when it comes to what they get in the JUCO ranks in terms of those guys contributing.
You should be hesitant.
Yeah, because you look at the recent history that they've had. You know, they had high hopes for, you know, Rodney Coe right away. And, you know, it took a while for him to be able to develop. And, you know, you can't just say, you know, Jordan Harris. Mm-hmm. There are very high hopes for him at linebacker. He had to redshirt last year.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the idea is always that these JUCOs are going to come in. The hope is they can come in and contribute right away. That's not always the case. Let's remember, they did go a junior college route for a reason.
Yeah.
Maybe that's grades. Maybe that's athletics. Maybe personal stuff. Every case is a different case. But with how things have gone in the past for Iowa State recently, you can't pin all your hopes to that.
Mm-hmm. No, you're exactly right. The JUCO route, and you know, when Iowa State's as bad as they have been lately, Jack Whitford and I on our post game show on the Cyclone Radio Network, it always recruiting gets brought up because fans want to, you know, when you're not good, fans want to know what's in the pipeline, and
they want to know if it's not good now, is it going to be good tomorrow?
Yeah. And that's what part of being a fan is. I get it. And we get a lot of calls about JUCOs, and it's just, you know, and Jack's whole point, like having played, like one out of every three usually turn out.
Yep.
And with hopefully Iowa State's recruiting at a better JUCO level now because they can offer immediate playing time to these guys.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Now, man, it's been perhaps, at least in my opinion, the most fascinating offseason for Iowa State. And
fascinating for you, painful for people listening to this.
Yeah, and hopefully Iowa State fans aren't thinking I'm taking any joy
offseason. I totally get what you're saying. It has been an interesting offseason.
You've had guys kicked off the team, guys that have left the team, guys that have been arrested. You've had all the decommitments. You've gotten some good commitments. Mm-hmm. It seems like the only thing that we haven't had is a coaching any coaching changes.
Yeah.
You had Yancey McKnight leave. Now, I think that's kind of a big blow. I mean, the players, everybody seemed to credit him for
they love him.
Whatever resurgence they had. You had guys like Jake Knott and, you know, A.J. Klein. All those guys just absolutely raved about him. So that's a big loss. But you almost brace for it after signing day, wondering if something else might still be on the horizon in terms of...
Are you hinting at something?
No, I know absolutely nothing, but
it seems like you're alluding to something.
There are two times that you're going to have any type of coaching changes take place to a staff. It's either going to come right at the end of the season or it's going to come right after signing day. Didn't come after the season.
Well, it came after signing day.
I can't imagine everybody in that locker room's a happy camper with how things have gone the last couple of years. I'm not hinting at anything, but
what,
I will.
What do you know?
Yeah, I will just say kidding. This: it would not surprise me either if nothing comes, because
you're exactly right.
You look at all the turnover that they had last year. You can't get rid of a guy after 1 year. The only reason, you know, because most of these guys are, you know, guys that are coming into their second year, so. You know, the only change that could be coming is maybe somebody bolting, I would think. Now, I know the big question's been, you know, what's going to happen to Wally. I'm guessing that Wally's back next season. And I know a lot of Iowa State football fans want to see a change in defensive coordinator. But here's my thing. If you're going to give Rhodes that one more year, you got to give Wally the one more year, because you can't expect – Rhodes have to rechange, you know, adapt a new defensive style in a make or break year for him.
I agree. I have nothing to add.
All right, bye.
No, I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
On so Wally Burner.
I do
completely agree with you.
I think it'll be an interesting signing day. You know, it's been a while. I can't remember the last time Iowa State has a guy that's flipped on signing day. But after everything that's happened during the off season, I think everything is fair game to worry about in terms of that possibly happening, because we've had guys that have come out and said, "Yeah, I'm coming." You know, both those guys that bolted for West Virginia.
Yeah.
You know, I know both of them absolutely said. I forget which one it was. The guy who had decommitted like four other times from high school in the JUCO ranks. He says, "I'm coming to Iowa State, book it." That's
He's
a for sure thing.
Decommitment machine, that guy is.
And then he goes to West Virginia. So I wouldn't be, you know, that I wouldn't be shocked if something like that happens on signing day. That's, you know, there are rumblings at least that some of the high school kids are, you know, still being poached.
You enjoy the women's game tonight, Tommy.
I'll try. I will. I'm sure I will.
Blum and I are going up.
Are you?
Take it in, yeah.
So we'll come hang out?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Is Blum doing radio work for the opposing side again?
Blum starts his 5-game stretch filling in for Rich Fellingham this weekend.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
So this weekend.
Yep. So we're going to do a little scouting of the ladies.
Blum and I are not on speaking terms after last night now.
Oh, what happened?
I was assured a high five during the coaches show. You know, I'm going to live tweet the show regardless, but I'm just saying I paid extra special attention, hoping it would come.
Was Bloom never on the coach's show?
He had a heavy hand in some part of the production aspect.
Oh, okay. So he was Dave Sprout last night.
I think so.
Okay. He's filling in for Dave.
Making promises he couldn't keep.
Sounds like Bloom.
Typical.
Tom, thanks for your time.
It was fantastic.
We appreciate it. Let's try and do that. Let's try and do that signing day one.
Okay.
Let's see what we can do.
I'm game.
Talk to your guy Hamilton. Mm. Is Hamilton still on the racing beat, or
I'm not sure.
Kick him off of that.
he loves him some racing now.
I remember way back in the day, I was blogging for you guys on auto racing, and Bryce Miller was your sports editor at the time, and Andy like never watched a race in his life and got put on that beat.
Now I've been told that like on Sundays, he's just doing it for fun.
Oh yeah, he's an animal. He's an animal. It'll take over your life.
He already has.
He's Tommy Birch from the Des Moines Register. I'm Chris Williams. Thanks to Mr. B Clothing, 1995 Northwest 86th Street in Clive. Tomorrow night, 6 to 7, Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show from Benchwarmers in Ankeny. Fawcast with Mark Charter Real Estate coming up on Friday. Thanks for listening. So long, everybody.